Olivier is a farmer in Madagascar, in a village about 20 miles from the capital city of Antananarivo. He raises rice and vegetables, and he also has fish. Before, Olivier was very mean and tough, and he liked to fight to settle his disputes. And he enjoyed arguing and using bad language, and his neighbors didn't like him. They were scared of him. They didn't want to be around him. He considered himself to be a Christian, but Olivier had never really been changed by Christ. One day, while trying to tune in the national radio station on his radio, he came across the Nazarene broadcasting of Through the Bible, and he began to listen to that program. And the more he listened, the more he wanted to listen. And the Word of God began to speak to him, and he realized that he needed to accept Christ as his Savior. His life was completely changed. He stopped fighting, and his neighbors saw that there was a difference in him. And they gave him a nickname. They began to call him Jesus because he talked about Jesus all the time. Olivier currently is discipling 10 other new believers.
One, we're on our way. We're about halfway through the year. So how many of you are discipling 10 believers? You still working on the first one? That's okay. If everybody wins one in 1 year, we'll double in 1 year's time. And you still got about 6 months to go. And this week, we start the big events. We go into Rotary Park this week and start sharing free bottles of water. You think it'll be warm enough? I think they may appreciate those cold bottles of free water. And so we're going to have a good time in the Lord, and we're going to have a good time fellowshipping and sharing the good news about the events of Bible School, Faith, Family, and Fun Day, the various things that are happening. And they're telling us now, we originally, when we set out to be a part of the Sky High 4th of July, they told us they thought they might have 3,000 or 4,000 people. The Parks Department is now saying that they're estimating, because it's one of the only main 4th of July events in the area, that they may see 10,000 to 15,000 people that night. And so when we go on to the 4th of July at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening, and start sharing sunscreen and bug spray for free, and giving over, if we have bottles of water left over, we'll give those out as well. We'll just be looking forward to a good time. So thank you for your giving. Thank you for the way you have responded. We are doing well in financing these extra events that were not a part of the actual budget when we started this year. And so thank you so much for your response to God. If you want to participate, then certainly you can check. There's yellow cards still on the sound booth that you can check and see what events you might want to be a part of. We'll call the office. We'll be glad to get you hooked up with the right directors. But on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday this week, we will be giving to others. And so we have a chance today now to give to God as He has blessed us. So if our ushers will come, we want to indeed respond to His word in obedience to give tithes and our offerings for what He has blessed us with, and return to Him that portion that He has asked for to do His ministry. And so, Brother John, if you would, come and ask God's blessing on the offering. Receive my tithe this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the freedom to assemble together. The price that was paid for our personal freedom, but also your price that you paid for our spiritual freedom, for our salvation. As we return unto you the tithes and offerings, thank you, bless it, and we give you the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Different kinds of fathers, and they all need to be recognized and honored today. Today, we honor those fathers who consistently strive to balance loving their wives and children with being good, godly workers at their jobs. May you feel the pleasure of God. Today, we honor those dads who had poor fathers themselves, but who have committed never to become the father they grew up under. May your children continue to be guarded from any of the hurt you carry. Today we honor the fathers who are older and who no longer have day-to-day obligations to their own children. May the family gatherings this weekend make you feel like you could do it all over again. Today, we honor the adult children of fathers who were absent. May the God of the fatherless become your father in ways you've only dreamed of. And may you believe with your whole heart that his leaving wasn't your fault. Today, we honor men who have no children of their own, but who father younger men as mentors and guides. May you see your important roles as impacting and life-changing. And finally, today, we honor fathers who have passed away. May their good deeds live on through you, and may their careless deeds be corrected in your lifetime. Today is a special day. So for all the fathers we mentioned, and even those we didn't, be honored, be blessed, and be joyful. We believe that you have what it takes to change the world, and you're doing it one relationship at a time. Happy Father's Day.
Supply my bread, my God. Still more.
Aren't you glad this morning that not only is God your Father, but He is your friend? That He loves you and cares about you, is interested in the things that matter to you, wants to be involved in your life every moment of every day as you will allow, whatever burdens you carry, whatever praises you have to offer. If God wasn't there, who would we offer our praise to? God wasn't there, who would we lay our burdens on? I don't know about you, but I am so glad today that just like when I was a kid growing up and the school sent home some kind of a note saying, well, your kid needs $5 for this or a dollar for that, or when the school bus was stopping at the Dogwood store on Friday afternoon on the way home from school, and my dad would sometimes give me a dime to get a Chico Sticks. I was glad I could go and ask. I am thankful. I know it's not this way for everybody, but I am thankful today to have been raised in a home where my father was present, where my father loved me, cared for me, protected me, provided for me. And I am blessed. And we are blessed, every one of us, no matter what failures or flaws our earthly fathers may have had or have, we have a Father in heaven who has no flaws, who loves us unconditionally, perfectly, always has, always will. And it's to that God that we come at this time in the service with the absolute assurance that He hears us and that He is responding, even when we think not. He is responding and working in our lives. We want to be mindful of those things that are within our bulletin prayer list this morning. And we are glad for those who have had surgery in these last couple of weeks, that most of them are with us this morning and are recovering. And we're thankful for that and appreciate their involvement here today. And we want to continue to pray for these upcoming events that are part of our summer outreach and our Summer for Souls. Continue to pray for those that are in need. We continue to pray for... It's been a tough spring for a lot of folks, and into the early summer, the tragedies in Nepal and the shootings in Charleston and things that go way beyond us. Sometimes we don't necessarily feel touched by, but I assure you, the God in heaven who loves you to the extent of having the hairs on your head numbered loves all of those people exactly the same. And if they matter to Him, they should matter to us. And may God help us to intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters going through difficult times. If God enables, may you do more than pray. May you give, whether it be time or finance, to whatever needs come across your path. But today we come to this point in place to say thank you to a great Heavenly Father, and to lay before Him those things that are too much for us to carry. And also today, as we stand this morning, I'd just like for every one of our fathers who are present, stand with me this morning as we prepare our hearts for prayer. And if our fathers would just step into the aisle, we just want to notice you. We want to honor you. Just step into the aisles from wherever you're at. We're not going to ask you to come forward this morning. Your gift was from these precious ladies who fixed us the wonderful breakfast this morning. And so we appreciate that, ladies. We say thank you. We applaud your effort and appreciate all that you gave there. But we want to honor these fathers. And we could have gotten gifts, but we like to eat, don't we, men? So that was good. Thank you, ladies, so much. And thank you to every one of you men to go beyond fathering, to be dads. Some of you have gone without dads in your life part of the time for various reasons. Some have passed on early in life. My father's father died when he was 2 years old. Some of you maybe felt abandoned, as the video talked about this morning. Thanks to all of you for not only being fathers to your own children, but oftentimes some of you who have never biologically fathered children have been mentors and friends to others. So we love you and honor you today too. There are people all around who need us. And just as our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally, so we want to love His people, His children. Let's join our hearts together this morning as we sing. The altars are open to you, and then we're going to pray a special blessing on our dads and pray over these needs and requests this morning.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh God, how I need you.
Father, how great it is to call you by that name. Lord, I believe you know all things. And I believe this day that you preside over all the earth, the entire universe. I know that you know perfectly. And so you know this morning just where in your heaven my dad is located. And so, Lord, would you just give him a hug for me? Tell him I love him. Lord, we thank you for the great Father that you are to us, for your great mercy, your great love, for your compassion, for the plan of salvation, for provision, all things, more than we need, and how we need you. We've just sang that. Lord, we thank you for being the example that we need, for giving to us your Holy Spirit that we might have those divine character traits within our hearts and minds. Help us, Father, to allow them to flow through us and out of us into the lives of others. Father, we thank you today. We honor these men called fathers and dads. We honor men who may have not biologically birthed a child, but have been a father figure to some who have not had someone there. Father, we pray your blessing upon these men, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them courage, that you would give them strength. Father, that you would lead them and guide them and direct them. That you'd continue from time to time when they get busy to tap them on the shoulder and remind them that you're there for them. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for this church, place to serve. Thank you for the opportunities that lay before us this week as we hand out water. The fourth, as we hand out sunscreen and bug spray. The week of Bible school as we teach children. Faith, Family, and Fun Day as we try to give a family-friendly event to people. God's Love Giveaway as we just try to give as we've been given to. Lord, somewhere we pray, let the message get through. Lord, we want someone to come to know you because of the efforts that we give forth. Cover these things with your anointing, with your presence and your power. Lay it on our hearts, Lord, what you would have us to do, how to be involved, where to help. Let Nixon Church of the Nazarene be a lighthouse to this community. Let us show the way in life as my father showed to me so many times. Bless these men, Father. Prosper them in every possible way. Grant them financial blessing to be providers for their families. Lord, give them physical health that they might reach the potential that you created in them when you gave them birth. Most of all, Father, help them to be the spiritual leaders that they need to be in their homes. Touch each one of them that they might have a saving, sanctifying experience with you. Lord, help them to be men of the Word so they know the guidebook to life. Help them to impart those truths to their children and spouses. Help them to set the pace. May they feel your protection and your presence all along the way. Lord, these needs that are on our prayer list today and on the hearts of the believers work in every situation. We give you thanks for successful surgeries, for the beginning of healing processes. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in the lives of these as you show yourself to be the great physician. As you own the cattle on a thousand hills, meet the needs of our families. And as you died on Calvary, save our souls. And help us to bear fruit. Lord, we thank you for this Father's Day, for you are the greatest Father ever. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We're here on purpose today to worship you. Because we love you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Won't change anything that's in my notes. But it'll sure make me feel a whole lot better not to wear it. Somewhere along the way with the morning and activities, going to the nursing home, coming back, I absorbed some of that heat from outside and just brought it in with me, I think. So I'm trying to soak up some of this air conditioning now. As we go. Well, it's great to see you. What a good-looking group. I understand we had about 71 for breakfast. Thank you all for coming out. Again, wouldn't you like to give these ladies a hand? We just appreciate them for giving us a good meal, gentlemen. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. I had somebody, we were talking in church board a couple months ago about what we would do on Father's Day. We gave flowers to the mothers on Mother's Day, and somebody spoke up in board meeting and said, well, I'll just tell you, you can keep those little trinkets if you want. I'd rather have breakfast. So I think the biscuits and gravy did well, and it was great. We had casseroles and fruit and all kinds of good things. The best part, though, was just knowing our ladies care enough to do something special for us. So thank you so very, very much. Thanks to all of you for coming and being a part of the breakfast, and thanks for being here on this Father's Day to worship the Heavenly Father and to think of how good He has been to us. I take text this morning from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10, it reads like this. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness. I couldn't help but read this passage of Scripture. Now, some of you who are less than probably 50 years of age may not even remember this, but those of you who are 50 plus probably will. How many of you who are 50 plus remember in black and white, Father Knows Best? Okay, see, it's true. It's not a thing I made up. It's a real program. It was on TV. And I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I couldn't help but have that thought come to me. You know, it says in here that our earthly fathers disciplined us as they thought best. And then it goes on to speak about God allowing us to share in His holiness. And the bottom line is, our earthly fathers did the best they could. But the bottom line is, Almighty God never messes up. Whatever God directs us, whatever God lays on our heart is indeed the best for us. But I thought it was interesting this morning as we think about the Father's Day to think for just a second about our fathers and the efforts that they put forth in our lives, that we maybe realize. How many of you know why we have Father's Day? How many of you know who started Father's Day? How many of you know when Father's Day started? Well, let me help you. Father's Day, contrary to popular misconception, was not established as a holiday in order to help greeting card manufacturers sell more cards. In fact, when a Father's Day was first proposed, there were no Father's Day cards. Mrs. John B. Dodd of Washington first proposed the idea of a Father's Day in 1909. Mrs. Dodd wanted a special day to honor her father, William Smart. William Smart, a Civil War veteran, was widowed when his wife, Mrs. Dodd's mother, died in childbirth with their sixth child. Mr. Smart was left to raise the newborn and his other five children by himself on a rural farm in eastern Washington State. It was after Mrs. Dodd became an adult that she realized the strength and selflessness her father had shown in raising his children as a single parent. The first Father's Day was observed on June 19th. This is not as long as you might think. 1910 in Spokane, Washington. At about the same time, in various towns and cities across America, other people were beginning to celebrate a Father's Day. And in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a National Father's Day, but it was in 1966 that President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. That's not too long ago, is it? Some of us can actually remember 1966. How many of you didn't have a clue about 1966? Yeah, there are a few of you around here. Okay, that's okay. We're glad you're here. I was the ripe old age of 9 or something like that. But Father's Day has become a day to not only honor our fathers, but all the men who act as father figures. And today, for a few moments, I would like for us to consider from a scriptural perspective what the makings of a great father are. How many of you know that there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect"? How many of you know that's in the scripture? Okay, well, can I just clue you in here? Perfection is not a requirement for being a great father. Okay? As much as we want to strive to be all that we can be, whether we're in the army or not, and as much as we want to strive toward perfection, as the Scripture has told us, and Paul even talks about forgetting the past and striving towards what is ahead to gain what Christ has taken hold of me. And so we're moving in that direction, but we also understand that we cannot be this side of heaven in our humanity, in our brokenness, in the fallen state of man. We cannot be perfect. And yet I think there's a lot of fellas out there that the enemy gives a hard time to, because there may be some shortcomings in their life. There may be some failures and flaws. And even though they might have been giving a valiant effort, the fact that maybe they didn't perform perfectly and flawlessly may bother them a little bit. And the enemy may try to put that on you even heavier from time to time when your kids are going through struggles. And the truth of the matter is, when one of mine was in a difficult situation, the first question that I asked was, "Where did I go wrong?" Matter of fact, sitting on one side of bars, and him on the other, that was exactly the question I asked. He said, "It wasn't you, Dad." He said, "You couldn't have done anything different. It wouldn't have made any difference." And so we realize that it really is true that we are all free moral agents, and that we reach a point where we kind of do whatever we want to do. Now, what we hope is that fathers, that we have influenced our children so that at some point in time that it's going to have an impact on their lives. But the good news is, you do not have to beat yourself up today. If you can look back at your life history and say, "I wasn't perfect." God doesn't expect you to have been absolutely perfect. Matter of fact, let me remind you of a passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 that reads like this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. That statement, those three words that begin that verse, do your best, ought to be something that every one of us do without exception. We ought to do our best. But in those three words is the freedom that my best doesn't have to match anybody else's. The great thing about our Heavenly Father is He created me. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows what my best is, and He never says, Gary, I want you to do like Brother Ed. Or, Gary, I want you to do like Brother Bob. Or, Gary, it's God knows who I am. He knows me personally. He knows my journey. He knows everything about me. And He says, here's your opportunities. Here's your education. Here's what you've been blessed with. I know what you're capable of doing. I know what you should do. The question is, are you doing what you should have and could have? And did you give me your best ever? And if you did, I am absolutely thrilled. See, because the enemy wants us to go through life thinking God is disappointed in us all the time. That because we're fallen, because we're not perfect, because we are flawed, because we didn't always get it right, that probably He's kind of upset with us. And the reason we get that way is because in our human flawedness, that's how we look at each other. We're disappointed with each other. When somebody doesn't perform up to our expectations, we're disappointed. So we just assume that if we don't perform up to what we perceive God's expectation to be, we think He's disappointed too. And I think God is disappointed when we don't live up to what we could do. But God is the only person in the entire world who knows exactly what that potential is. The people on the street, the people who live in my house don't know. The people I work with don't know. The people I go to church with don't know what my best is. But God knows and will help you to know when you pillow your head at night whether you've done your best or not. Whether you were trying to shortchange Him and yourself. I'm reminded of 34 years ago, my first Father's Day, my wife presented this plaque to me. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. My first child was a boy. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right. His ears are always open and he watches day and night. That changes when they get to be teenagers. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. And if you read that and you really take that to heart, it almost scares you to not be perfect. But the deal is we don't have to be. Can I just very quickly, and I'm not going to take time to dive into all these this morning, can I just take time this morning to remind you of three men in the Bible who certainly were less than perfect, but have been recorded in biblical history as men of God, men of faith, and examples to those of us who are around. And yet, when you stop and think about their life, there's a lot of things we don't want to emulate in these guys' lives. Okay? Let me just remind you. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And then if you read toward the end of the book, in James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, And he was called God's friend. Yet how many of you know that Abraham was a liar? Abraham was human. He had a beautiful wife. He got in a situation where a king was attracted to his beautiful wife, and he didn't want to jeopardize himself. And so he didn't totally lie, because when you go through this whole Bible ancestry thing, it was partially true that she was sort of his sister. I don't even want to get into all that this morning. I don't have time for that sermon. But he basically told the king, "This is my sister, not my wife." And the king entertained her for a while, and then stuff started happening, bad stuff, and he finally found out what was going on, and he said to Abraham, "Why didn't you just tell me?" And Abraham said, "I was afraid of you." How many of us, when we get afraid sometimes, instead of trusting God and helping us overcome our fear, we start doing human kind of things? And maybe we fib a little bit. Or maybe we hide the truth. And yet, in the difficulties that Abraham had, and in his humanness and the flaws that he had, he was credited at the end in the Bible as a man of faith. His belief and his obedience was credited to him as righteousness, and he was a friend of God. Because that kind of thing was an exception, not a lifestyle. It happened, but he admitted to it, and God forgave him. We could go on and talk about Jacob this morning. Let me read to you in Genesis chapter 35. I mean, Jacob certainly qualifies in fatherhood. In Genesis 35 and verse 22, it tells us in the last half of that verse, Jacob had 12 sons. Wow. That qualifies you for fatherhood, doesn't it? But Jacob was known to be a deceiver. Jacob tricked his older brother Esau out of his birthright because he wanted what didn't belong to him. Then later, after he was sort of tricked a little bit by Laban and wanted to marry Rachel, but he got Leah first. Which you need, can I give you a little wisdom here? This is just free. Let me give you a little wisdom. If you ever have the opportunity to speak to a crowd, and you're going to speak about something in the Bible, just make sure there's nobody in the crowd that day named the same names that you're preaching about. Because I was preaching about Leah and Rachel one day, and Leah doesn't mean a very nice thing. Sort of means looks like a cow. And we had a Leah in the congregation that day. So it wasn't a good thing. So anyway, just be careful. Check ahead of time. Brother Troy, John, I didn't get to be here this morning over at the nursing home, but just check ahead of time when you're speaking so you don't run into any of those situations. Get you in trouble sometimes with folks. But Jacob, finally to get to Rachel, worked for many years for Laban, his father-in-law, and then Jacob, the same guy who deceived his brother out of his birthright, then told his father-in-law, "Listen, we need to go our separate ways." And so Laban says, "Well, I'll give you a parting gift." It's kind of like Wheel of Fortune. And he said, "Well, here's what I would like." He said, "I'm not going to ask much of you. I'm just going to say, you know, if you have some spotted cows and some spotted goats, whatever spotted, then you just give me the spotted ones and I'll be happy." Laban says, "That's a good deal," because spotted stuff wasn't real popular and wasn't known to be without blemish. But Jacob, he must have taken FFA or something, because he went and started using certain twigs and things to actually create in the breeding process the genetics for all the cows that were being born and all the goats that were being born to be spotted. Because he was the one that cared for all the flocks. So he basically, over a period of time, emptied the coffers of his father-in-law and became a very wealthy livestock person. The Bible tells us there was a time where the Spirit of the Lord, an angel, appeared to Jacob. They had a little wrestling match. And God threw his hip out of socket and kind of humbled him a little bit. And then Jacob became known as Israel because he struggled with God. Any of you ever struggle with God before? Any of you dads ever struggle with God? But Jacob is one of those famous people in Bible history. And then there's David. We all know the story of David. Good little David, the shepherd boy who killed the lion and the bear and the giant. And his head military man. He killed him as well, remember? Took his wife. Committed adultery. But in the end, when it was all assessed, when all time had passed by, David became known. Listen to this, Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." He was an adulterer and he was a murderer. How many of you, let me ask you right now, how many of you, when you hear the words David, think of murder and adulterer before you think of killing Goliath and being king and serving God? I'm telling you, folks, we can overcome our issues. God is gracious, compassionate, loving, forgiving, and if we will confess and admit to our faults, He will forgive us and He will help us to overcome, and we can still have a productive life and we can still make a difference in the lives of a lot of people if we'll fess up and allow God to change us. We don't have to be perfect. Now, here's another thing. If you want to be a great father, not only do you have to realize that you just give your best and pursue, you know, follow God, but that we need to be present. One of the biggest things I hear over and over and over again was my dad was not there. And sometimes it doesn't mean divorce. It doesn't mean abandonment. It just means my dad never had time for me. You know, if you think about it, if we're trying to live out in the image of our Father God, listen to what He said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Never. I will never leave you. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, He says in the Great Commission, He says, "Lo," Jesus said, "Lo, am I with you always, even to the end of the world." That's kind of like forever. I ran across some incidents that struck me as I thought about this fact of being present. Charles Francis Adams in the 19th century, who was a great political figure and diplomat, kept a diary. One day he entered, this is Charles Francis Adams, he entered in his diary, "Went fishing with my son today, - a day wasted." His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. And on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." The father thought he was wasting his time while fishing with his son, but his son saw it as an investment of time. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing is to know one's ultimate purpose in life and to judge accordingly. I assure you, men, that your children would rather have your presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, than your presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Now, kids are kids, and they like getting presents. But there come a day and time when the presents are gone, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. But your presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, will be remembered forever. Matter of fact, has anybody here, I'm guessing there might be a guy or two here that indeed might remember a guy named Harmon Killebrew. How many of you remember Harmon Killebrew? Somebody tell me who Harmon Killebrew was. You're from Minnesota, Carolyn. Who was Harmon Killebrew? He played for the Minnesota Twins. He was a Hall of Fame third baseman and outfielder. My father used to play with my brother and me in the yard, and mother would come out and say, "You're tearing up the grass." And my dad would reply to my mother, "We are not raising grass. We are raising boys." Be there. Be there. Your presence. If you want to be a great father, your presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, is required. That's what they'll remember. That's what will be meaningful to them. We just need to simply be accessible. Listen to Psalms 145 and verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. And then in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. We need to be accessible. Our kids need to be able to get to us. They need to be able to talk to us. They need to be able to ask us questions. They need to have us to respond to them. A young man was sentenced to the penitentiary. The judge had known him from childhood, for he was well acquainted with his father, a famous legal scholar and author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law of Trust. "Do you remember your father?" asked the magistrate. I remember him well, Your Honor," came the reply. Then, trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, "Are you about to be sentenced? And as you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him?" And there was a pause. And then the judge received an answer he had not expected. "I remember when I went to him for advice, he looked up at me from the book he was writing and said, 'Run along, boy, I'm busy.' When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away saying, 'Run along, son, this book must be finished.' Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend." The magistrate muttered to himself, "Alas, finished the book, but lost the boy." There's a phrase we see sometimes on contests. You must be present to win. If I can tell you anything, dads, if you want to make a change in your life, this is a big one. If you want to have memories, if you want to make a difference, you must be present to win. And then the last thing I would say to you is that we need to be in pursuit. We need to be seeking God. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul." And then over in Acts chapter 17... Acts 17, beginning at verse 26. "From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." I promise you that if you will seek God in your personal life, your children will notice. I promise you that if you will put God first in your life, it will make a difference in your children. You see, because what we seek and what we experience personally is what we share with our children. How many of you remember that verse in Proverbs 22:6 that says, train a child up in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We've said this many times. That's not a guarantee of salvation. But it is a guarantee of knowing how to be saved. It is a guarantee of knowing how to find God. It is a guarantee of knowing God exists. If you have lived your life by that faith, no matter where your children go, what they do, what they think, how far away they get, they know how to get back. That may be the greatest gift you could ever give them, is to always know how to find God. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 26 says this, His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. And that's what we need to do with our children. We need to take the responsibility for teaching them and training them and instructing them in the right way. Gail Irwin wrote a book called The Jesus Style, and in it is this excerpt. When I was 6 years old, my father was severely injured in an airplane accident and was left partially paralyzed and brain damaged. My mother then became the breadwinner of the house. Since my mother was often not there as she attempted to make a living and my dad was not there physically or mentally, the stage was set for family failure. But our family did not fail. Through difficult times, both parents stayed faithful to God and to us. Prayer, belief, steadfastness, and love surrounded us. Money and fine homes did not. When my father died, my two brothers and I stood in front of his casket, made the following statement to the friends who had gathered for the funeral service. Our father did not leave a financial empire for us to carry on. Many things that a dad normally does with his sons, ours was unable to do. He was unable to teach us many things that a dad normally teaches, but he did leave us something that he had. He left us with a love of God, a love for the Bible, a love for people, and an understanding of worship and an inability to hate. We feel that he has left us only those things that will last. So we stand here before you as his sons and declare publicly that we will follow his God. To know that your children have embraced your values and your beliefs and your faith, to know that they trust in God personally as their Savior and Lord, and to know that their eternity is secure, is greater than any inheritance you can leave on the face of this earth, because it will rot and burn. But if they know and love God, if they follow His Word and pursue Him, they will be successful at life and eternity. And there isn't anything better than that. To give them life forever rather than a sentence of eternal punishment is the greatest gift any father could bestow. The Scripture gives us all we need for the makings of a great father. I believe you are here this morning because you have a desire to truly be in the image of the Heavenly Father. I believe that you're here pursuing God. I believe that you're here to provide presence and example. I believe that you're here because we know that we're not perfect and we need God's help to make it. But I assure you, Dad, that that is a large statement that your children will never forget. And may be the difference in their life as you live and love them. God will help you. And may He grant to you the desires of your heart for you and your children as you love and live for Him. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we have come here today to worship You. You are the greatest Father, and we honor You. Lord, we also want to honor earthly fathers. And again, Lord, we pray for Your blessing upon them. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You would bless them, help them, bless their families. Help us, Lord, as a church to help those who seek You to find You. We thank You for their efforts. We pray You'd bless their time together, whether it is by card or phone or only in memory, or maybe there will be physical presence, Lord. Whatever can be done today, may they share love for their fathers and may they be loved as fathers. Lord, we just pray now that You would help us as we go out into this week, that we indeed will be a right representative of the Heavenly Father with the people we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would be seated for just a moment, Brother Ben will help us as we see our opportunities to serve this week.